Welcome to the Old Time Dragnet Show. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. We're going to be bringing you an actual lost episode of Dragnet. It's going to be pretty exciting. This is an episode I'd seen on television, on one of the DVDs that are out there. But the radio episode was lost. I went through, I think it was in 2007, I realized that I didn't have a complete set. And I went to get every available episode. And this one, unfortunately, wasn't available. So we're going to enjoy that. I want to add an idea of some checking down some potential lost episodes. And sadly, I found they were all mislabeled. Even the old-time radio researchers made an error on a couple episodes from 1951. They said that they had the big trunk and that they had the big lover from 1951. However, both episodes they had for 51 featured Frank Smith as Friday's partner. And for those of you who've been following the program, Ben Romero was the partner in 1951. But we do have The Big Family, an episode from December 28, 1950, that we're going to be very pleased to bring you in just a few minutes. I want to let you know the podcast awards are still underway. And it's important to get in your nomination. I think the arts and culture are probably the strongest category for the show. So if you feel the show is a deserving candidate, please go to podcastawards.com and place us a nomination for the arts and culture category. It'll definitely help promote the show. I had it one politics show that ended up being a nominee, and we had such a surge of downloads and interest. Really, that would be a huge help. So I encourage everybody who wants to support the show, go to Podcast Awards and place us a nomination. And the great detectives of old time radio. We've gotten a lot of great response, people subscribing, signing up. I encourage you to go to greatdetectives.net and subscribe so that you can, one, take a listen to our first episode, which stars Jimmy Stewart. And then starting on the 26th, you will get 5 episodes a week right to your iTunes. On the first page, we've got that link, subscribe to iTunes or subscribe through any other feeder. And we're going to try and get a little graphic up there to add to iTunes, as well as one for Zune. And we actually have quite a few people, from what I can tell, who are downloading off of Zune. So we'll be working on getting buttons up for both of those. As always, I appreciate and encourage you to leave your comments over at PodcastAlley.com. Here are some we've got. Love the show. Thank you. Comment, hi, Adam. I love Dragnet and look forward to getting the new episodes each week. You do a really good job with the commentary. And I'm enjoying your new and varied intros. Who was the guy with the really deep voice? Mary in Mission Viejo. That was actually Andy who does our sound editing on some of those shows. He was the deeper voice guy. Hey, Adam, keep up the good work. Your shows keep getting better sound quality, and your commentary is smoother, too. I'm glad you're coming out with another show. Can't wait. Natalie in Flagstaff, Arizona. I once visited Flagstaff when I was a kid. I found the podcast late, but do enjoy it. I'm catching up on the show through iTunes. Great show from Andy Norton and Just Voting. Adam Graham gets my vote for a superb job as the host of the Old Time Dragnet. I just love his comments and the history he brings to the show. Keep up the good work, Adam. Thanks for bringing Jack Webb and Dragnet to life. Thanks. And I encourage everybody to go cast the vote over at Podcast Alley. And we've got instructions down on the website at RadioDragnet.com. So I encourage everybody to go and cast their vote over there. You don't necessarily have to leave a comment. And we have a couple comments off of iTunes. I listen to this podcast at work, and it has saved my sanity. Thanks, Adam. Maybe I need to start downloading my own podcast. It might save my sanity at work. Another comment from Henry Sun. I find it, Adam, good show, but please always provide the original release date. I find it so much more interesting when I know the original release date on these shows. Please include them. If you will notice, many times during the program, dates are given, but never the years. Otherwise, keep them common. Well, thanks, Henry Sun. And actually, that was a criticism we received early on. I think it was 3 or 6 months into the show. And we actually have included the release dates, exact release dates, over at the show notes site. So if you go to radiodragnet.com, you'll see the release date for the show. See, that's kind of an incentive to go over there for the exact one. This one, I'll tell you, it's December 28th of 1950. Reminder, we have a Facebook page. Please become a fan. We're coaching about 50 people who are on there as fans on a Facebook page. So I appreciate that. Also, for those of you in the audience who, you know, you've got to make an important trip, make some travel arrangements. I'd like to encourage you to use Priceline, and we've actually got a special, a special deal work out of the show where you can use Priceline, and it'll actually help support the show. Just go to travel.radiodragnet.com, travel.radiodragnet.com, to book your airline flights and, hotels, cruises, rental cars, and that goes to support the program. I actually got a separate offer from a travel company. And after talking to my wife, I decided it'd be best to go with a company that I've known, I've done business with. And Priceline, I've generally had so many great experiences with them. There's the name your own price feature, but they've also added a very vigorous search tool. So you can be able to, just like some of the other sites, you can choose the time and your airline. And to me, there are so many great memories. As somebody who didn't have a whole lot of money out in Montana when I met my wife, I wanted to go out and see her. And I was able to do that through Priceline because I was able to name my own price. And another time I remember, I was somewhat groggy when buying an airline ticket for my wife. And I so she could go out and take care of her mother after surgery. And I made a small error. And that was that I bought a ticket traveling from the place my wife needed to go to Boise. So it was traveling in a reverse direction. So she would not have been able to go out there comfortably. I called over to Priceline. And, you know, the fact was that as a company, they had me dead to rights. I had not carefully reviewed the information, but they were able to cancel it, save me some money so that I could go back through and get the right ticket. So it's a great company. Choose them for all of your travel arrangements. Go to travel.radiodragnet.com or go to radiodragnet.com and click the Priceline link in the right banner for all of your travel arrangements. It's an easy way to help support the show, and I encourage everybody to do that. Also want to thank Michael Galea. I actually got he used the tip jar, left a very nice tip, so thank you very much for that. But without any further ado, let's go ahead and we'll get into today's episode, a lost episode, The Big Family.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a missing persons detail. A wealthy businessman in your city drops from sight. There's no trace of him. There's no apparent reason for his disappearance. Your job, find him.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Saturday, February 6th. It was foggy in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of missing persons. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Thad Brown, chief of detectives. My name's Friday. I was on the way back from communications, and it was 8:15 a.m. when I got to room 67A. Missing persons.
Hello, Joe.
Oh, hiya, Vance.
How you coming on the Jarrett case?
Oh, nothing. It's a dead end so far.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Joe?
Yeah, Ben.
Just got a call from Evans, Harbor Division. They found Jarrett's car.
Where?
Parked at the end of Pier 6, abandoned. Found it about 7 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, they checked the car over?
Mm-hmm. They found Jarrett's coat in the front seat. Letter in the pocket.
Yeah.
Suicide note.
John Keith Jarrett was a prominent and prosperous man. He was a well-known civic figure and socialite. As a young man, he'd inherited a moderately successful business from his father, and over a period of 20 years, built it into a million-dollar concern. He was apparently happily married to an attractive woman, and he was the father of two grown children, a son, Keith, age 26, and a daughter, Evelyn, age 23. According to his friends, business associates, employees, and advisors, there was no logical reason for Jarrett taking his own life. The letter found in the abandoned car on Pier 6 was brought downtown and the handwriting checked. It matched perfectly with the other specimens of Jarrett's writing. There was no sign of the gun which Jarrett was supposed to have carried. 9:35 a.m., Ben and I drove down to San Pedro, boarded police boat number 1, and joined with officers Brett, Hanby, and Tretter in a 2-hour search of the area around Pier 6. We found nothing. 11:40 a.m., the launch headed back for the dock.
I can't make it out. Not a trace.
Well, it might take a little time. Pretty fair chance that the tide swept the body out of the area. It'd still turn up.
This fog's not helping much. Yeah. Maybe I'm just ornery this morning, Joe. I sure can't buy this thing the way it stands.
I'll put in with you there.
Jarrett disappears Thursday night after work. His car doesn't turn up till this morning. He made up his mind to jump off the pier. Why'd he stall around an extra day and a half?
I don't know.
How about Ms. Jarrett? When's she due back?
She's flying in late tonight from Sacramento. We can check her in the morning.
Well, looks like we're just about in.
Yeah. Well, the crime lab ought to be through checking the car, huh?
Yeah, just about, yeah. These boys on PD-1 sure can handle this thing, can't they?
Sure can. Well, I'm going to call in from the phone on the dock. You want to stand by here a minute?
Okay. Watch your step there, Joe Slepper.
Yeah, all right. Michigan 5211, please. All right. Crime lab, please. Hi, Lee, Joe Friday. Did you look over that car? Mm-hmm. Where? Oh. Yeah, we'll check with you. Right, thanks.
How'd they do, Joe? Anything?
Jarrett's gun. The crime lab boys finally found it.
Where?
In his car. It was hidden up under the dashboard.
Yeah?
Gun's been fired recently. 2 empty shells. How the recovered gun might tie in with Jarrett's disappearance and the suicide note, we had no idea. When the car was found abandoned at the end of Pier 6, the obvious guess was that Jarrett had taken his life by drowning. If that was the case, what accounted for the 2 shells in his gun? Why was it carefully hidden under the dashboard of the car after it was used? Why were the only fingerprints on it those of Jarrett? Together with Sergeant John Epperson, Ben and I spent the rest of the day interviewing the friends and business associates of the missing man. The answers were the same. Not one of them could think of a good reason why Jarrett would take his life. More than half of them thought that he'd met with some kind of foul play. Late that night, Mrs. Jarrett arrived back in the city. The next morning, Sunday, Ben and I drove out to the mansion in Bel Air to talk to her. She was a pale, middle-aged woman who was a strong smell of liquor on her breath.
I was just fixing these flowers. Not very good to keep them out of water very long, you know.
Yes, ma'am. You go right ahead with it.
Won't you put some brandy or something?
No, thank you.
Are you from
out? No, thank you.
I think I might stand a little brandy. Helps sometimes. Good morning. Sergeant, I'd like to have you tell me the truth. What do you think has happened to my husband?
Well, that's just what we're trying to find out, Ms. Jarrett. All we have to go on is that letter that we found in his car.
Well, I can't believe there's anything in that. Jack and I have been married 31 years. He'd never take his own life. I know him that well.
The letter was in his handwriting, ma'am. We've confirmed that.
Yeah, that's why I say it's so confusing. Look, isn't that a gorgeous rose? Will Scarlet, they call it. That's gorgeous.
Yes, ma'am.
Would it be possible for us to talk to your son and daughter, Ms. Jarrett? Just a routine investigation?
Well, I'd rather not have Keith or Evelyn brought into this, if you don't mind. Are you sure you wouldn't care for some brandy?
No, thank you.
I don't mean to sound arbitrary, ma'am, but this case isn't exactly trivial, and I'm afraid that your son and daughter will have to be brought into it sooner or later.
Well, can't be helped, I guess. If you like, I'll give you their addresses. Keith lives in Hollywood, and my daughter Evelyn has an apartment near Malibu.
Either one married?
Both single now. Evelyn's been divorced.
Mm-hmm. Any trouble between you and your husband? I mean, any recent arguments? Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Not recent, no. We didn't get along too well, that's all.
Well, you don't think any family trouble could account for Mr. Jarrett's disappearance, huh?
I don't think so. Jack and I rarely argued. We didn't get along, that's all. It was no worse last week than it was 10 years ago. Oh, he has his work. I have my interests. Worked out as well as a lot of marriages, I guess. I'd better get on with these flowers.
No offense intended, ma'am, but you don't seem too disturbed by what's happened. Suicide note and all?
No. Yes, I don't.
You don't think this marriage trouble that you mentioned a little while ago could lead to your husband's suicide?
Well, I didn't mean that much to Jack. Good or bad, his family never meant that much to him.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. It was always the company, business, making money. We never worked out. Jack didn't care about having a real family. It didn't mean that much to him. He wrecked everything I ever wanted. I won't bore you with a story.
Do you know of any business troubles that might have upset him?
No. Jack never discussed business with me. He had his own interests. The children had their own interests. I guess I have mine.
Ma'am?
I drink, Sergeant. It's something to do. I drink every day in the week. I drink quite a bit. Only been since the children left. I'll blame them. Jack didn't care. Guess I don't care myself anymore. We never were a family.
Do you know if your husband's seen your son or daughter recently?
No, he never visits them. He never had anything in common with them.
And you still don't think that this trouble has any connection with what might have happened to Mr. Jarrett?
Maybe. I don't think so. Doesn't seem to matter that much to me.
How do you mean?
It doesn't matter, Sergeant. I don't hate Jack. I don't love him.
Yeah.
I just don't care, that's all.
Before we left the Bel Air mansion, we got the addresses of the son and daughter and showed Miss Jarrett's room. No leads. 1 p.m., Ben and I drove down to Malibu to interview the daughter, Evelyn Jarrett. She lived in a small, modernistic cottage bordering on the beach. She was attractive and well-dressed. At the age of 23, she'd been twice married and twice divorced. She sat on the sofa filing her fingernails while we talked to her.
I don't mean to be rude, Sergeant. I have a date at 2:30. I don't want to be late.
We'll try to make it as quick as possible, Miss Jarrett. We talked to your mother this morning. She told us you haven't seen too much of your father the last 2 years.
Yes, that's right. None of us were ever really close to him.
Well, when's the last time that you saw your father, Miss Jarrett?
Well, up until last Thursday night. I hadn't seen him for about 5 months, I guess.
Oh, you saw your father last Thursday night, was it?
Yes, he called me that afternoon, said he wanted to have dinner with me and my brother Keith.
Did you have dinner with him?
Yes, a little Spanish place out in Melrose. Keith was late as usual.
Wasn't that pretty unusual for your father, having you and your brother get together with him for dinner?
It didn't happen very often. Mother probably told you about that.
Well, how did he seem that night? Did you notice anything unusual about him?
No, he was pretty much the same as always. Asked Keith and me how we were getting along, if we needed any money.
He didn't mention anything about leaving the city, going on a trip, maybe?
No, he didn't. We had dinner, a few drinks, then I left.
What time was that, Miss Jarrett?
A little after midnight, I think. Well, Keith and my father stayed on. They said they were going to have a few more drinks.
I see.
Care for a cigarette?
No,
oh, thank you very much.
Here you are, I'll get it.
Thank you.
How was your father when you left him, Miss Jarrett? In pretty good mood?
Oh, he and Keith were arguing as usual. After a few drinks, they always argued.
Anything serious?
I don't know. Keith had some debts. He wanted Dad to pay them off. There's one thing I'd like to ask you, Sergeant.
Yeah?
I read the story in the paper, that gun you found in my father's car. Was it an inflated revolver, a .32?
Yes, that's right. There were two shells fired.
Funny. Dad hasn't had that gun for a year. Reason I know is because after my divorce, I moved into this place alone. I thought it'd be a good idea to have a gun around, so I asked my father for his.
Yeah?
He told me he'd given it away already. He didn't have any more use for it.
Who'd he give it to, do you know?
Told me he gave it to my brother Keith. That was almost a year ago.
Oh?
Must be a mistake. Keith had the gun. How could they find it in my father's car?
Well, maybe Keith can tell us. As soon as we left Evelyn Jarrett, we drove to a public phone booth, and Ben put in a call to the Green Castle Apartments in Beverly Hills, where Keith Jarrett was living. There was no answer. Ben called the manager of the apartment.
Yes, sir. How's that? Mm-hmm. When did you say? I see. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Maybe we got something.
What's that?
Jarrett's son doesn't live there anymore. Manager says he moved in a hurry.
Yeah, when?
Thursday night.
You are listening to Dragnet.
Sunday, February 7th, 4 p.m. Ben and I drove to the apartment vacated by Keith Jarrett and checked it over. No leads. We called Mrs. Jarrett and her daughter Evelyn. They had no idea of Keith's whereabouts. Mrs. Jarrett suggested that we call a fashionable tennis club out in Hollywood to which her son belonged. There they told us that Keith Jarrett was scheduled to play in a tournament match on their courts the following morning. Monday, February 8th, 10:30 a.m. We checked in at the tennis club.
Joe, I talked to the man at the desk.
Yeah?
He said Keith Jarrett's around here someplace. He's having a boy page him. He'll send him over to us.
Okay. I wonder if this is where he moved after he left the apartment.
No, I talked to the clerk at the desk. They don't have living quarters here. And that's sure a beautiful stretch of lawn, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder if they have any trouble with Gopher. Nice shot.
My name's Jarrett. You're a gentleman looking for me?
Oh, yeah. The police officer's Jarrett. We'd like to talk to you a few minutes, if you don't mind.
Oh, not at all. A match coming up. Yeah, I got time. What can I do for you?
It's about your father, Jarrett. We've been assigned to the case. Thought you might be able to help us out.
Oh, yeah. I'll bet. Tell you anything I know. Figure suicide. Kind of unusual. We haven't spent much time together the last couple of years. My father and I didn't get along too well.
How did he seem to you Thursday night, all right?
Yeah, pretty much the same as always. We ate, had a few drinks. That was about the size of it.
What time did you leave the restaurant, you remember?
Oh, 1:30, I guess.
Your father leave with you?
Yeah, that's right. We drove to my place for a nightcap, talked a little, and then he left.
What'd you talk about, do you recall?
Same old thing. He tried to argue me into taking a job with a company. He's been trying to sell me on it for years. I never could see it.
Oh, see. What kind of work do you do now, Jack?
Tennis.
How's that?
I play tennis. Follow the tournaments. I like it pretty well. My father never could see it. He calls his tennis bums.
I see. Well, you don't have a regular job that you work at?
No, that's what we always argued about. I like tennis, though. Figure if you've got the money and you don't have to work, you might as well be doing something you like. Hey, you fellas care for a stick of gum?
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Excuse me. You know, I've been doing pretty well since I strengthened my backhand. I'm seated fourth in this tournament.
That's so.
Huh? Pretty good life, all in all. A lot of fresh air. Nice-looking girls around, good-class people.
Uh-huh. You still live in town, Jerry?
My friend and I rented it up Hollywood. Just moved there.
When'd you move?
Sometime last week. Why?
Thursday night?
Yeah, that's right. Thursday night. Is that supposed to mean something?
You left pretty much in a hurry, didn't you?
I guess so, yeah.
Mind telling us why?
Look, let's go back in the lounge. Huh?
Yeah, okay.
I'm
little more privacy, no use advertising.
What's that?
I got quite a few bills around town that need paying. Tried to get my father to cover them when I saw him Thursday night. He turned me down, so I figured the best thing to do was move. I'd lose some of the bill collectors for a while, anyway.
Uh-huh. Do you usually notify your family when you move?
Well, I was going to let them know. I haven't gotten around to it yet. I don't think I get it, all these questions.
Just routine, Jerry. We understand that your father gave you a gun about a year ago, a .32 revolver nickel-plated.
No, that's right.
Well, if you had the gun, how come it was found in your father's car?
Because he asked me for it back. Oh, it must have been a month, 6 weeks ago.
You say why he wanted it back?
No, I didn't ask him. I dropped it off one day when I was going by his office. You can check with his secretary, yeah? Mr. Butler. Say, fellas, if you don't mind, I better run. I got that doubles match coming up.
Well, just one more question, Jerry. Can you think of a good reason why your father'd want to take his own life?
Just one.
Yeah?
You met my mother?
During the next 3 weeks, besides checking on dozens of other missing persons' calls, we continued pushing the search for John Keith Jarrett. One by one, we eliminated the possibilities. Jarrett's personal physician told us that after a recent examination, he considered his patient to be in sound physical and mental health. We rechecked Jarrett's business rating. His company was in excellent financial condition. His bank statements were gone over. Nothing showed there. We talked to Jarrett's lawyer. He could think of nothing to account for his client's disappearance or possible suicide. We went back and retraced our steps. Outside of the gun found in Jarrett's car, which tied in with nothing, there was no hint of fire involved. 2 months went by. We kept pressing the search. We got nowhere. Thursday, April 11th, I had lunch at the Federal Cafe, and then I took our car, 80K, to the police garage for servicing. 1:15 p.m. I checked back in at the office.
Joe.
Hi.
Got something.
Yeah?
The Jarrett case. This kickback just came through from Washington.
Oh, let me see.
Hey, look here. Right here you are. Walter John Mitchell, Port Santa Tomas.
Santa Tomas.
Yeah, we've been there. A little fishing town north of San Diego.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Walter Mitchell, small boat operator, applied for a Coast Guard pass March 18th.
Mm-hmm, let me see. Checked the fingerprints on Mitchell's application, found to be the same as fingerprints on missing persons bulletin. Well, how about that?
Yes, we made it. John Jarrett, Walter Mitchell.
Same man, huh? 2 p.m. Ben and I checked out of the office, got in the car, and drove down the coast to Port Santa Tomas, a small fishing town with a population of 250. On his application for a Coast Guard pass, the man who signed himself Walter John Mitchell listed his address as Pier 2, berth number 11. When we checked there, the berth was empty. We talked to one of the villagers fishing from the pier. He pointed to a fishing craft lying halfway out in the bay and identified it as the Blanche S., Mitchell's boat. Said he was having engine trouble. A man told us that he had a small boat that he'd rent out for $2. We took him up on it.
Sure hot down here. Think I'll get rid of this coat.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yep.
I'll give you a hand there.
Thanks. Yeah. Oh, it's sure a long pull.
You want me to take over for a while?
No, we're almost there now.
Yeah, easy now. We're coming alongside you.
Yeah, all right.
That ought to do it.
Mr. Mitchell? Walter Mitchell?
Yeah, coming. Who is it?
Police officer, sir. I'd like to talk to you if you have a minute.
Oh, all right. Come on aboard. Hold it steady there.
All right, I got it. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, all right.
Look, what? You better grab hold of my hand.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
Tie up and climb aboard.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Might have thought, officer.
Thank you. My name is Romero, sir. This is my partner, Sergeant Friday.
How do you do?
How do you do, sir?
Yeah, here we are. You can sit on that hatch cover if you like. Clean. Scrubbed it down myself this morning.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you, sir.
Beautiful day, isn't it? Nice, warm sun. Look at that. Water's clear as crystal. Good life out here, officer.
Yes, sir. I guess you have a pretty good hunch why we're here.
Well, I don't know. I'd like to have you tell me.
Well, your real name's Jarrett, isn't it? John Keith Jarrett?
Yeah, I thought so. I've been halfway expecting it. Tell me, how'd you find it?
Your application for a Coast Guard pass. Check the fingerprints on it.
Well, yeah, but you didn't have anything to compare them with, did you?
Well, when you applied for that permit to carry a gun, we got a set of your prints. They went out with the missing persons bulletin on you.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Washington matched up the print and sent the information along that.
Yeah, it's all right. Sure handed to you fellas. I thought I was pretty smart covering up.
Well, how about it, Mr. Jarrett? I mean, taking off like you did, don't you figure to maybe have a little explaining to do?
Yeah, imagine I do. You smoke?
Oh, thank you.
Yes, sir, I'd like one. Here, I got a match right here.
Well, no need to tell you. You've had a lot of people worrying over you.
I don't think there are too many. My secretary, maybe, right?
Well, yes, sir.
Look, I realize you men know your business. I know I don't have to remind you, but I just like to make it clear.
What's that?
I know a little bit of the law, and I want you to understand this. If you should tell anyone where I am, I'd consider it an invasion of my personal rights, okay?
Any way you want it.
Maybe you can't figure out my disappearing the way I did, but I think you know that legally I've done nothing wrong. I've respected the rights of the law, and now I want the law to respect my rights.
Yes, sir. It's fine with us, Mr. Jarrett. Just one thing.
Yes, sir?
We've chased down quite a few blind alleys on this thing. That false suicide that you staged, the gun, the letter. Do you think that maybe that earns us an explanation?
I'm sorry about the legwork, believe me. You can hear the story if you want, though, short version or long.
Which one? Any way you want to tell it.
Uh-huh. You met my family, have you?
Yeah, we have.
My wife?
Yes, sir.
My son, Keith?
Yeah.
My daughter?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know what they're like. My wife's been an alcoholic for 8 years. Why be polite? She's a drunk. My son's a tennis bum. There's no other word for that. My daughter?
Yes, sir.
You know it as well as I do. Two divorces, different boyfriend every week. You might as well be walking the street. I worked hard for my family, Sergeant. I was proud of them once. What would you do if they turned out the way they had?
I don't think I could say, Mr. Jarrett. I don't know your family that well.
There's a good reason you don't, Sergeant. I paid a lot of money to keep them off the front page. One jam after another. Scandal, 10 years of it. Covering up for them. I got tired of it. Dead tired. Maybe I'm just getting old. You men care for a cold bottle of beer?
No, thank you.
Well, there's nothing more to tell, officers. I worked most of my life for my family. I've had 3 vacations in 20 years. I tried to do everything I could for them. They're rotting apart, Sergeant, all 3 of them. I didn't want to stand around and watch them rot. That's why I left.
I see.
They each have their own trust fund. They'll be taken care of.
Yes, well, I guess it's none of my business, Mr. Jarrett, but do you think that you might have been to blame, maybe? Your children, I mean?
I don't know. Maybe. If I made the mistakes, I guess I'll pay for them. Not much from changing your life when you're 52 years old. Gets lonely sometimes. Pretty lonely.
Well, what are you going to do now, do you know?
Ooh, sail around, I guess. Take the Blanchess down to Mexico, all around, do some fishing. It's lonely sometimes. I'll get used to it. Say, you men wouldn't like to stay on board for dinner, would you? I'm even learning to cook.
No, thank you, Mr. Jerry. Guess we better start getting back, huh, Joe?
Yeah, yes, we have.
Well, thanks very much for dropping by, officer. Sorry about that extra legwork I caused you. Here.
What's this?
$2 for the rent of the rope.
Glad to meet you, Jerry. Good to you.
Same to you, Friday. Goodbye.
Bye, Goodbye, Mr. Jerry.
Watch your step there.
Yes, yeah, we've got it all right, Hank.
There you go. Okay, Joe, come ahead.
All right. Passed off your line, boy.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Mitchell. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Good luck, gentlemen.
Good luck to you.
Nice fellow, that Mr. Mitchell, huh?
Yeah.
Strange one, huh, Joe?
Oh, I don't know. He seems pretty happy. Must have been pretty rough on him.
Yeah. What's it prove?
It's no crime to get lost.
The story you have just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
On April 19th, a final report was filed by officers investigating the disappearance of John Keith Jarrett. In a moment, the results of that report. After a complete investigation by officers into the case, it was found that John Keith Jarrett had acted within his rights. Legally, for the officers to disclose his whereabouts would have constituted an invasion of privacy. 3 years ago, unknown to his family or friends, John Jarrett died and was buried anonymously. have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice for Dragnet comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department.
Welcome back. You know, the weirdest line in Dragnet I think I've ever heard was just right then. When Romero said, "Nice guy, strange one," and Joe Freddy said, "I don't know, he seems pretty happy." Pretty happy in the sense, my family has gone to rot, and I don't want to sit around and watch them destroy their lives. So I'm going to abandon everything I know and disappear from my failed, miserable life. He seems pretty happy, really. You got that from that conversation. Maybe some of the youth and inexperience of Sergeant Friday, you don't get to see a whole lot of it, but it's kind of a reminder you're dealing with a 30-year-old police sergeant, Joe Friday. But I thought overall, though, despite that one little, moment, I thought this was a nice episode because it really mastered the art of bringing home drama, tragedy of what had happened, without being too intentional or overt about it. It was basically an episode that explained that and showed that tragedy by showing one by one the members of this guy's family. So I thought a very interesting, well-done episode, and I'm definitely glad it was found. All right, well, let me go ahead. I will read off what are the actual lost episodes of Dragnet out there. All right, missing is the first episode, Robbery, from June 3rd, 1949. Then there's a series of actually seven episodes in a row. The Second Hand Killer from October 6, 1949. The Big Buy from October 13th. Big Lamp from October 20th. The Big Drink from October 27th. Casco and Breen from November 3rd. The Big Bar from November 10th. And Harry Girard from November 17th. And then we've got episodes pretty well in a roll. Then we have March 22nd, 1951, The Big Trunk, and March 29th, 1951, The Big Lover. And then we've got, let me just go ahead, I know this episode is still missing. We have August 2nd, 1951, The Big Cop. And as far as I know, that's it for missing episodes. Now, the good news here is because we are into the 1952 season, we don't really have any more missing episodes to worry about. They're all in a row, all the way through September 1955 when the show went into reruns. So we've got a lot of shows in a row to enjoy and listen to over the next 3-plus years. All right, well, one thing I didn't want to share, and I had not realized this extra benefit about the Facebook, is that there's a way you can view comments from fans on the show who wrote comments on Facebook. So we'll go ahead and share those briefly. Deloy writes, "Great podcast. I've been downloading them since the beginning in 2007 and putting the files on CD so I do not take up the space on my computer. I live here in Irvine, California, and work at a local Christian radio station." Well, thank you so much for listening, Deloy. Dave says, love the show. Barbara says, it's amazing how well Dragnet stands up even after so many years. Well written and superb acting. Adam Graham does a great job hosting the show each week. I always look forward to the next episode. Stephen writes, Adam, I've been with you since the beginning, and it is still my favorite podcast. Great to see the show on Facebook. Doyle says, love the show, Adam. And Dan says, hey, Adam, thanks so much for putting the show on. You are a fine host, and your love of these shows is contagious. I have subscribed to The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio, and I'm thrilled at all your choices. Jack Webb would be humbled and thrilled. Dan Barry, New Jersey. Well, thanks a lot, Dan. And Dave, actually, who wrote earlier, also writes in, thanks for removing the commercials. I think we all have enough advertising in our lives already. Yeah, I actually took a college class that talked about how many ads you're exposed to an average day, and it is a staggering total. All right, well, we're going to wrap this up in a moment. I do want to encourage everybody, go to greatdetectives.net, subscribe to the podcast. Also, there's a link on radiodragnet.com on each episode to take the survey. If you have not taken the listener survey yet, please do so. This gives us an idea of who, what our audience is like and who is listening. This will also give you an idea as we go forward with different sponsors of the program to make sure that we get a good sponsor that fits the show. For example, from the survey, those who've responded, I see that 70% of the audience is married. Well, that to me indicates that this would probably not be a good show. Say an ad for eHarmony, because most of the audience is already married. In addition, because we also identified that 4% of the audience was under 18, then yeah, there are a lot of that 30% that would be unavailable. So definitely give us an idea who's out there, who's listening. It's really a great thing to know, and it will help us be sure that we are well aware of who's out there. All right, well, that's it for this week's episode of the Old Time Dragnet Show. Got any comments, feel free to email me, adam@adamsweb.us. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off. Special thanks to Johnny Tusa, who provides the theme music for the Old Time Dragnet Show. If you want to hear more of Johnny's music, please go to music.greatdetectives.net. That's music.greatdetectives.net.